This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Intuit, the technology platform that brings financial confidence with products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. You might have learned the recorder in school, but probably not how to navigate the financial world. Luckily, Intuit's on a mission to help with the free Intuit for Education program. It provides students with the lessons to learn essential skills, like how to build credit, file taxes, and budget. Check out their free resources at intuit.com/education.
Hello and welcome everybody to Flicker Effect. Last night we got episode 6 of Ahsoka on Disney Plus. We are here to talk about it now. Before we dig into that though, by the way, I'm Dave Lott. Joining me for this is Bobby Jackson. How's it going, Bobby?
Going good. Can't wait to get into some discussion.
Oh yeah. And right here next to me, Michelle Hillard.
Hello. How's everyone? Going, Michelle? Hi.
Welcome back.
Yes. I had a little hiatus.
Speaking of, welcome back. You were here last week. You didn't get to talk about Ahsoka episode 5 and 3 and 4 for that matter, but mainly episode 5. So before we dig into episode 6, what did you think of 5? 5 was a pretty big deal for a lot of people. There's a lot of chatter about episode 5. Yeah. So I'm curious, like, where do you fall in that chatter?
Man, we're just jumping right into this.
We're jumping right in. We don't waste any time anymore, Michelle.
Apparently not. Okay, So episode 5 of Ahsoka. I will say I liked it. I enjoyed it. It was definitely obviously more of an epic storyline going on. I don't know. I feel like I'm one of those people that I enjoyed it, but I don't think I enjoyed it as much as everybody else seemed to have enjoyed it. And honestly, I would say that would speak to the whole series for me. Like, I'm liking the show a lot. There's definitely things that I'm enjoying. There's definitely things I'm kind of going, yeah, I could take that or leave that. But I think, you know, as far as the way everybody else is enjoying it, I am definitely not there. And it's not to be like, oh, I'm pooping on it, or, you know, I don't know. I feel like maybe I need to have more of a connection with Rebels or Clone Wars. But for me, a lot of the big emotional things that are happening in the series are not evoking those emotions in me. I'm not going, oh my gosh, you know. Having said that, though, you know, it is pretty cool to see Anakin. And it was... I don't know. It was really neat to kind of see the way that they did the entire sequence between him and Ahsoka. And then having like a young Ahsoka going through the Clone Wars with him. And then when she's basically in Rebels and he's no longer there. And I don't know. It was an interesting kind of give and take. I think for me, the highlight was definitely their sword lightsaber fights. That sequence was pretty cool. You know, and the whole... David informed me it's called the Obi-Annie maneuver. But I guess for me, it's just kind of Anakin's signature lightsaber move where he kind of swings it behind his back and then pulls it forward. And that was kind of cool to see him do it on Ahsoka. I was like, oh, well, the whole thing's going on. It's cool. I don't know.
You got a lightsaber. You're gonna learn this move for yourself.
I need to learn the Obi-Annie. But... yeah, I don't know. I think for me, the rest of the episode was kind of, yeah, okay. and now I'm going to say it wrong, but the space whales, for people that are uneducated like myself.
Oh, I'm a space whale guy. I don't remember their names.
What are their names, Bobby?
Purgils,
right?
Purgils.
So, you know, it's kind of cool seeing them. And the idea of them... that they're going to travel through hyperspace, intergalactic hyperspace inside of one. It's kind of cool if you think about it. But I don't know. I just didn't walk away going, holy cow, my emotions are, I was not that person. But I think I also just don't have the broader connection to the story that's happening. I think it was an episode where I feel like, and I'm saying this because I feel like a lot of the episode when we saw Ahsoka, it was young Ahsoka, but even just seeing Rosario in it, like she feels, I'm enjoying her more as this character. And yeah, I mean, I guess that's really kind of my biggest, I don't know.
Your general thoughts.
That's on my general thoughts on episode 5. Enjoyable.
We were just curious. We didn't get to hear your take last week. So we were curious.
There was just nothing that I was just like, oh my God, my head's exploding. My emotions are everywhere.
Well, and I don't think it's, but, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of people obviously online or where have you, like, that were very, very emotional about the episode. Oh, but yeah. I think there's a lot of us, and I would include myself, that I think I talked about this last week. I very much enjoyed it, but I wasn't crying. I wasn't, you know, like, that invested in these characters to pull those kind of emotions out of me. But that doesn't mean I didn't enjoy the episode. I thought it was quite good.
Right. And I'm not shaming the people that did have those emotions. Like, I'm glad that for them, these are characters that they've grown to know and love and enjoy and to see. For them, I understand that it is a huge thing to see them come alive on live action, to see their stories continue. Like, I don't begrudge them their happiness. Like, I'm glad that they're enjoying it. I'm glad that they are fulfilling those thoughts and feelings and emotions with this series. And I'm cool, man. I'm glad. I'm glad you are happy.
Well, with that, we are here to talk about the most recent episode, which dropped last night, episode 6. Before we do that, just like we warned last week, this discussion is really geared for you listeners who have seen the episode. We are going to be talking about spoilers for episode 6. So that's what we do.
That's what we do.
We would love for you to join us after you have watched this episode of Ahsoka. So go check that out first if you haven't watched it yet, and then come back and listen or watch this episode, depending how you are consuming this episode. So yeah, spoilers from here on out for Ahsoka episode 6. Let's dig into it now. Michelle, since you got us started by talking about episode 5, sure. What did you think of this one?
Kind of the same. I enjoyed it. I think there's some highlighty moments, and I think there's other things that I wouldn't say I necessarily but I definitely was kind of like, indifferent on, you know, kind of like, okay, cool. But for me, I would have to say, I think, and it's really sad, but my opinion is that the highlight of last night's episode, episode 6, Far, Far Away, was literally the introduction scene. It's just Ahsoka and
Hu Yang
in the ship just having a conversation, and that was actually one of the biggest highlights for me in that episode. Which I acknowledge is definitely not supposed to be the biggest thing in that episode. Not by a long stretch. So I acknowledge that. But I think it's what's nice is that in watching that scene, they just have this nice conversation that's just, it's just a continuous back and forth conversation, and it's not just I'm saying something and then I'm staring off into the distance and pondering, you know, quandaries of the universe. I don't know. It's so, I feel like that happens a lot in a lot of the scenes, and in some scenes I go, yep, nope, that's a good pause. You need to take a little moment for that. Another time I'm going, anyone else could jump in and pull this conversation forward a little bit more. And then on the other side of things, like, it was kind of cool to see Thrawn. It was kind of cool. And I was like, oh wow, this is a character that I will be honest, I know extremely little of, but I know he's a super bad guy.
Do you have any exposure to Thrawn outside of this episode? Like,
I mean, from like Rebels, not Rebels, but Clone Wars.
I don't know if he appears.
Rebels.
Okay,
so maybe I don't think I've made it to an episode of Rebels that he's appeared in yet.
I think I've just seen like stuff on the internet, right. Like clips from Rebels of him and things happening, and like I never read his book, so I don't know. I really know nothing about Thrawn, and that's okay.
I was just curious, like to see where you're coming at this from.
I would say, like, of our group, I'm definitely the most novice when it comes to this grouping of Star Wars characters. For sure. I'm much closer to the average, maybe I'm not the average viewer. I don't know. Maybe it is just a bunch of fanboys watching this. I have no idea. I doubt that. But I think there's a regular people like me who enjoy Star Wars and are watching it and don't know the depths of every character's backstory. But it is kind of cool to see Thrawn. Like, I was kind of like, wow, this dude is, he is intense. But at the same time, like, he's a bad guy, but nothing he said was like, oh man, that's totally dark and messed up. Like, total disrespect for human life. No, it's not shocking at all. He's a bad dude. So, I don't know. I think there's stuff that I liked. I will say, like, for me, and people can totally attack me, and I don't, you know, it is what it is. Again, maybe it's just my own naivete, but, you know, when Sabine is out and she's looking for Ezra and then she finds Ezra, it didn't evoke a major emotional response. Like, this is supposed to be someone that she has a huge connection to, and she's searching the galaxy. She's been wishing he'd been around for, I don't know, what, last 20 years, 16 something? I don't know what the timeline here is, but she's been missing this dude, and it just was kind of like, oh, yeah, hey, there's Ezra. Found you. It was almost like, tag, you're it. Like, it just didn't. Like, they had this nice even hug.
Just her. Like, it was like,
yeah, just her and him even. Like, I mean, they had a nice little hug, but, like, I don't know. It just was kind of like another day at the office, I guess.
Okay.
I think I've had more emotional reunions with people in my work office that had just been gone for a week and come back. And I'm like, hey, man, how are you? It's been crazy since you've been gone. My gosh, how was things? How were things? What's going on? Like, it just seemed very like, meh. Eh.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
And then, like, the most important thing that's really happened is just like, I'll tell you later. And I'm thinking, you should probably start working on telling them now. It's kind of a lot of information that he should probably get caught up on. But,
well,
those are my thoughts. Okay. Sorry.
Well, I'll go ahead and share my thoughts real quick. And I think it's important to, you know, mention again for those maybe new to the show, like, where am I coming at this from? Like, when it comes to this Rebels and everything, I haven't finished Rebels. I'm, you know, a season and a half into Rebels. I have a ways to go. My knowledge of Thrawn basically is summed up in that I've read one book of Thrawn. And that's really it. I don't even think I've made it. I haven't made it to the point in Rebels that Thrawn appears. Not that I remember. I don't think. Anyway. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but I've heard a lot about Thrawn, so I'm familiar. And obviously we get Thrawn in this episode. Go ahead, Bob.
You read one of the books, though, right? Or
yeah, that's what I was saying. I've read one book.
And you read it, right? Not audio?
Correct.
Okay.
One of the few I actually read. Usually I consume books, audio books, but this one I read.
It's interesting I say that because... If you had listened to the audiobook, I forget who does the voice of Thrawn. Mm-hmm. It might be I can't think of his name all of a sudden. Mark Thomas. But they do a very good impression of Lars Mikkelsen's version of Thrawn. So it's like it really settles you into the character. When there's that consistency of the way they do the voicing for the character. So it's like when you read it yourself, you have your own sort of thoughts of how the character would probably look and sound if you don't have any really good hold on what the character actually sounds like or how his mannerisms are. But in the book, when you listen to the audio version, you do get that, even if you'd never seen any of the Rebels or even read the old Thrawn novels back in the day from Timothy Zahn. So I was just curious.
Yeah, no, I read one of the more recent, the first book of the more recent run. But that's my exposure. I enjoyed this episode overall. I think we talked last week, Bobby, that I think we both agreed. Like it kind of seems like so far when it through the five episodes that each episode kind of got progressively better for each of us.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would say that's the case with episode six. That's nothing knocking episode six. It's, you know, we talked about this last week. Episode five was such kind of a big episode that it felt like this next one had to kind of bring things down a little bit. And I think it did to a point, even though we do get the reveal of Thrawn and we get the reveal of Ezra, sure. But outside of that, it felt like a more low-key episode. And but there's things about it I really enjoyed. There's things about it that felt very Star Wars that I really liked. But then there are things that, like, and I really won't even say yet, like, that I'm like, I'm not saying I have a problem with, but I guess I bump on like a little bit. And I don't know what everyone's reaction has been to this, so I don't know where I stand, but that's all I'll say for now before we dig actually into the episode more in depth.
Does it have something to do with stormtroopers?
I can't wait to hear what your thoughts are once we get to that part.
I'm warm.
Bobby, what'd you think of this one?
I enjoyed this quite a bit. Last week we were talking about that episode and how it played into a lot of Clone Wars. Well, for me, as I mentioned, I've watched maybe two seasons worth of Clone Wars and then kind of did the list of here are the most important episodes to watch of Clone Wars. So I didn't watch episode per episode, but I know enough and have watched enough to obviously get the feelings of what's there. So if last week's episode was an episode for people who are fans of the Clone Wars, I think this week's episode is definitely an episode for people who are fans of Rebels. And so for me, I think I like this episode a little bit more than last week's episode. And some of it has to do with just the amount of lore and world building that we got within this episode compared to last week's episode, where it was more insular and more focused on Ahsoka and Anakin. So this one, I think, expands that Star Wars universe in more ways than one than last week's episode did. So that's what I kind of was my takeaway in terms of why, for me, it still feels like it's building, like each episode is better than the last in some way. And really, for me, the one thing that I came away wanting to know more about is Baylan. And I don't know, I haven't looked at this yet, but at some point, probably back there will be a Baylan figure because he's just so awesome to me as a character. And for a multitude of reasons, it's a shame that we don't have Ray Stevenson around with us any longer. But yeah, I'm just so intrigued by that character and to see what his ultimate goal is once he really lays it out there. So that, and just obviously seeing Thrawn in live action, just something I've been waiting for since way back in the day, like I mentioned with the original Thrawn series that came out. I remember getting those books when they first came out and just being like, oh, this character is badass. So that was great seeing him, and he did not disappoint at all in live action. And same with getting to see Ezra finally. And we had talked last week about when do we think that the two of them would show up. And sure enough, Thrawn did show up in this episode. And I can't remember specifically when we said Ezra, but I don't believe that I said that he would show up this week. I didn't think he would. But it was good that we got both of them in this episode. So now it's kind of like, okay, we've gotten everyone. We've seen everyone. Now, like, let's hit this last, two episodes, the ground running, and see where we go with it. So, yeah, overall, I really enjoyed it quite a bit for a lot of different reasons that I haven't gotten into yet, but as we talk about the episode, I'm sure I'll touch on those as well.
Very cool. Well, I was going to get things started with the beginning. I was curious. So this episode starts with Ahsoka and Hu Yang traveling inside of a space whale in, I guess, intergalactic hyperspace or whatever we want to call it. And I was curious if either of you kind of thought about this or what your thoughts were on this. But it's funny, you know, like in the last episode, everyone has been talking about Ahsoka the White and how like she has suddenly does seem like a different person. And then this episode starts, and to be honest, part of me was like, oh wow, she feels like Ahsoka the Gray again, like almost immediately. Mm-hmm. like this just happened, basically. I don't know how long in actual real time this trip is supposed to take, across, from one galaxy to the next. The show doesn't, give you a sense of how long it's actually supposed to take.
Yeah.
But it was interesting to me, like, how she already seemed kind of back to the way she was in those first four episodes. I'm not saying like I expected that, oh wow, like she has gone through this experience in the world between worlds or what have you, and she is now suddenly a different person and she's always going to be walking around just like, oh, everything's awesome and I'm, everything's hunky-dory. But it was interesting to me that she does suddenly seem not the same person that we saw at the end of the last episode. Or am I the only one to think that?
She's not as zen as you thought she was.
No.
About the whole situation. I mean, I guess. I don't know. She seemed pretty like, well, we're just kind of hanging out. I think she was just kind of sharing her thoughts.
Yeah. There was a lot of concern.
I don't know. I think I side with what you were saying, David. I immediately noticed it as well because I was going to be looking for it in particular after last week and how everyone had thought the same sort of thing. Well, now she's sort of Ahsoka the White, and so she's more in tune to how she used to be. So, of course, I was going to be watching for that aspect. And while I will agree that I do feel like she was more Ahsoka the Gray, I think in my mind, I tried to explain it away because we only had a small sample size of this week of Ahsoka.
Yeah,
very and so small. So my thought was like, maybe it's because of this intergalactic hyperspace travel that they're doing. She's sitting there thinking, and she has time to think. And now this is sort of bubbled back up to the surface and weighing on her mind is like, well, what is she even going to say to Sabine when she sees her? And she knows that she made this choice. And what does that mean? And the fear of her giving into her emotions. And, Jedis aren't supposed to be attached to have attachments. And so all this stuff is probably going through her mind and sort of pushing her back into a more contemplative version as opposed to sort of the upbeat version that we were getting towards the end of last week's episode.
And I guess that's kind of what I was thinking, was that, she's off this, she's in this happy natural high of like having a last lesson with her master. And she's pretty zen about everything, but now she's been just kind of hanging out in the cockpit and they're just kind of traveling along. It's like you do on car trips. You kind of just start, your brain starts going, you start, rethinking an argument you had with somebody or a random conversation. And now she's going, I did completely not tell Hera all the truth. Like, and so now she's having like a confessional moment of like, just FYI, yeah, I totally omitted that. I don't know. I was trying not to read too much into like her personality backfalling. I think I just read it more as a, it's like two people on a road trip and you're 12 hours in, you still got 12 more to go, and you're like, I'm thinking about random crap now. I don't know, that's kind of how I read it.
Okay. To me, like the way she is so different in episode four toward the end, to immediately jump to what seems to me a backtrack of like how she was acting, it was noticeable. I bumped on it. But, again, we didn't get much of her in this episode.
you know, for a show that I don't have any complaints with the decision to not have her much in this episode, but I know there's been a lot of talk of, oh, this really seems more like a Sabine Wren show than an Ahsoka show. But then we get episode 4, which was full on an Ahsoka episode. But then this was like a complete, like, oh, well, here's a taste of Ahsoka, and now she's gone. We're never going to see her. Which, again, was fine. It was just kind of funny at the same time.
I got to believe that there's a little bit of a reasoning behind that. Obviously, because Dave Filoni is running the show, and while this is Ahsoka's show and her name on the show, this is, and he said, sort of a Rebels season 5. Mm-hmm. And so it makes sense that there is as much of some of the other characters in there as much as there is mm-hmm. Ahsoka. But I also believe that while out of story reason for a lot of Sabine or some of the other characters is probably due to the fact that those prosthetics can't be easy to do all the time, and it maybe makes more sense for Sabine, who has none, to just be on screen a little bit more so than some maybe. Of the others, just because of that.
Yeah, I'm sure the shooting schedule basically rotated around trying to knock out her stuff as early as possible.
Or
yeah, because you think of all the other characters, they have something. Hera has her Twilight things, and mm-hmm. you know, Soka obviously has her.
And Thrawn's blue. I mean, Lagoon, you know, those contacts look hell of uncomfortable. So,
it's a lot of prosthetics and makeup and stuff like that. So they're probably like, oh, well, we have one character that doesn't have to wear anything but Mandalorian armor sometimes, not even her helmet all the time.
Yeah,
she didn't have it this episode.
True.
Left it back on the other planet.
What after that? Then we go to the hyperspace ring or what have you. They are traveling also, obviously, ahead of Ahsoka, almost to the planet. They arrive at the planet. What did you guys think of the witches and kind of where things went from there?
Before we jump to that, I have actually looked at some of the other reactions and what other people were saying. One thing I noticed that some people bumped up against, not everyone, but some people, was Hu Yang saying, "Once upon a time in a galaxy far, far away." And some people thought it was a little too on the nose in terms of, like, that they would almost be meta in the way of saying far, far away in a galaxy far, far away. Did either of you have any issue with him mentioning that?
No, I kind of liked it. I quite liked it. Especially like he does that too. And then it goes right into the title, which fits. Like,
yeah.
No, I had absolutely no issue with
that. I actually kind of liked it when he said, I was like, oh. Was like,
yeah. Did you have Same. A problem with it? I just was curious. No, not at all. But I just was like, I was surprised. I was taken a little bit back when I saw a few people saying, it's a little cheesy, right? Or a little corny. Because
people's got to have something to complain about.
Yeah, so... But go ahead, David. Sorry.
Oh, I mean, hey, wherever I have no roadmap here. I mean,
well, just to pick up back where you left off.
You mentioned it, Michelle, when we were watching the episode, and of course, as soon as I saw it, I thought the same thing. I'm like, oh, it's Minas Tirith. I'm like, we really are doing some Lord of the Rings references in this show so far.
How much money are they dishing out to Peter Jackson for this episode?
I'm like, it's straight up looks like Minas Tirith, like.
Dude.
Yeah, I was
tower.
I feel like, Bobby, you're looking at us like, are you guys crazy? But
tell me you have a Lord of the Rings. You had to have
thought about that a little bit.
Tell me you have a Lord of the Rings like picture.
Really? Think about it. No, not too much. A little bit, but not too much, because I feel like Lord of the Rings is so old and so many people have, you know, scribed from it in terms of inspiration, that and Dune. That it just doesn't. It just seems like, yeah, I could see how, because even when I think about Lost,
story, it's, I guess, the
like
look.
Having. Well, no, that's what I mean. Like, even Lost, just I'm thinking of the big statue type thing. It's just something that seems like it's something that people do, and I do give sort of a reference or a reverence to Lord of the Rings being the first thing like in my mind that does that or did that. But I think because I've seen so many other things do it within media that I didn't think too much about it. Because we also had I get what you're sort of going with it, Michelle, in terms of the overall look of that place, for sure. But yeah, I was more not zoning in on the overall look as so much as like the statues that were there, and thinking in that term more so than like the actual aesthetic of everything. But I do see what you guys are saying. I just, it wasn't like so present in my mind as more, so much as more as Dune was, just because there's the witches and stuff like that. But yeah,
I mean, I think as far as the storyline goes with the witches, you know, they're definitely pulling from not even just more recent works of art like Dune or Lord of the Rings. And it's weird to call Lord of the Rings recent, like it was written, you know, back in the early 1900s in the 20th century. But they're pulling from a lot of different old stories and mythologies of witches throughout history, and, you know, having not even just like altars, but basically having like monoliths kind of, and rooms with like big stones and like hinges kind of, and like that kind of a situation, and then having things scribed and scrolled into the stoneworks. And like they're pulling from lots of stories all over in the history of witches and things like that. And so having even this, the big like stone monoliths like on the outside of the, like, we'll call it the citadel for the witches, like that kind of all makes sense to me. But yeah, I felt like visually it seemed very, it was very reminiscent. It was very, very Two Towers-y in my opinion. Like, I was just like, wow, I feel like you're right back into that movie. But overall, I mean, I thought that scene was well done.
Oh, and I want to be clear. I feel like maybe there's a misunderstanding to my reaction. Like, I don't have a problem with it.
Right.
Like, it was just, I'm funny. Just recognizing it.
Yeah.
I mean, because it is.
Yeah.
It's one thing to, I think, to take inspiration from something, but to me, I mean, it is pretty spot on close, almost a replica. Almost. Like, I mean, obviously there's differences. I'm not saying it's just exactly the same, but it is so close that it's like, oh wow, like that's Minas Tirith. Like, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. Like I don't have a problem with it. It was just funny to me.
I know that at this point, it's been 24 hours since that episode dropped. There's got to be some people on the internet that have taken photos and overlaid them and have figured out, like, yep, this is it. This is, like, I know it. If I just Google it, I literally start seeing people on YouTube going, look, if you take this image and you take this image and you just overlay them like this, it's a perfect match. And they're probably just losing their minds.
To that point, I remember seeing after the first episode, there was that exact thing done with the I don't know what it's called in Star Wars or in the other thing, but there was this ball thing that's in Treasure Planet that like the thing that they did for first episode of Ahsoka. So
right.
I'm sure someone's done the Lord of the Rings in this past week's episode thing. So yeah, for sure. Right.
I haven't been on TikTok today, but man, it's calling my name tomorrow. I'm sure I'm going to see something.
Like, it's stuff like that, like seeing this in the show too, that, I mean, I'm always fascinated to see how things are made behind the scenes, you know, of course, but it makes me want to go, like, what was it like with like the visual effects and everybody going, so you really wanted to look this close to this, really? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, Dave Filoni, yeah, I'm totally acknowledging that this is drawing inspiration. I'm totally cool with that. Please make it this close. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'd love to hear those conversations. Like, okay, you wanted that. All right, that's how you want it to look. Cool.
And there's a part of me that's thinking, well, Peter Jackson's either doing one of two things. He's going, David, you'll be hearing from my lawyer.
Well, you're mentioning Peter Jackson. I mean, I think there were sketches. I forget the artist that did Lord of the Rings sketches of Minas Tirith, like well before Peter Jackson was like involved. Right.
Or he's going, well played, sir. Well played. I applaud you. Right. You know, like he's either loving it or he's going, guess I'll be making a phone call in the morning.
Right.
You know, I don't know. The witches.
The witches.
The witches.
I feel like this leads to a question now I have as someone, again, who is, I know, I feel like a broken record. I haven't seen all Rebels. I haven't seen the episode where Ezra and Thrawn end up, like, you know, traveling to another galaxy with whales. I have not actually experienced that yet. So how did a Star Destroyer get there? And I assume there's, like,
I haven't even seen Rebels, and the assumption that I'm under is that this Pergil
took the Star Destroyer with them.
Took the Star Destroyer, like the.
I mean, I assume that one, it has to be what
took
happened.
The Star Destroyer with them, just.
You see it in the episode.
I have no idea.
All right.
But I mean,
totally what happened. You see it.
By the way, how the hell did a Star Destroyer sneak up on all the people? Like, they were all just, oh, hi, yeah. Oh, yeah, look, yeah. There's dirt and the moon and the stars and the, oh, my God, the Star Destroyer snuck up on it. Like, what the?
I don't think I know what you mean, actually. Did it sneak up on anybody?
It seemed like they were just kind of all just conversing and life was just fine. And all of a sudden it was like, rumble. Oh, look, the Star Destroyer has pulled up. Like, it hasn't, like, slowly been coming at them for the last hour.
Well, I will say, in fairness, like, up till the Star Destroyer shows up, we have been spending time with Sabine and she's in her cell.
Yeah, but, like, they apparently were all hanging out up front.
They were, upstairs. But we hadn't been seeing them on camera. We don't know if they were like, oh, yep, it's coming. It's off in the distance. Like, I think you should rewatch and see.
It seemed very like they just turned around like, oh, hey, look, it's here.
I don't know. I don't think it was quite like that.
It's like coming over the horizon for the last 45 minutes, but oh, hey, look, it just showed up. Look at that.
I don't think so. Sorry. Anyway.
So those witches. So now I will say what I like about the witches is that is a reference for people who are not so familiar with Clone Wars. They come from episodes of Clone Wars where they are the ones who resurrected Darth Maul, and so they rely on magic, and from my understanding, they still use the Force, but they channel it in a way through making it magic based, as opposed to the way that Jedi and Sith use the Force. So,
right.
Which I think is cool, and actually seeing them on screen in live action is cool as well, because they get the look down really well. If you go back and look at anything, still frames or just clips from Clone Wars, you'll see how well they did. And it's cool that they're now being introduced in live action, because that introduces the other aspect of the Force a little bit more so than just seeing Elsbeth. You see these actual witches in there using the Force with magic in a way. And even towards the end when Thrawn says he needs to call on their dark magic. And so it's like, ooh, you know, we're really expanding lore in a way for people who aren't as familiar with some of this, these things that are happening within the animated form. So It's cool that we're getting more of that and seeing these witches here and how they even recognize when they see Sabine, they're like, you reek of Jedi. And it's obviously they do not like each other, Jedi and the witches. And so you see some of that going on there as well. But I really dug the fact that that also was an explanation of how Elsbeth was able to know where Thrawn was in the first place, is because these witches had been reaching out through her dreams or whatever and communicating and saying, you know, giving her messages, basically. And so it was a nice little explanation there as well.
Cool. Yeah, I don't have a lot of familiarity with the witches other than I think the little bit I've kind of encountered them in playing Jedi Fallen Order. But that's really my exposure to them, and just stuff I've learned from basically the internet. But yeah, haven't seen them in Clone Wars or anything like that. What was next after that?
Well, then, you know, Sabine goes down to jail for a little while. Then she gets pulled out because Thrawn shows up. Thrawn wants to have a little chit-chat with her. He lets her know,
you're skating over Thrawn. I mean, Thrawn has arrived. Along with a bunch of stormtroopers that look like they have been living in, like, Mad Max. Like,
Well, it was like, okay, so Thrawn shows up, and Star Trek shows up, and it docks very sexually with the like pinnacle thing into the room. So Thrawn shows up, he comes out, but of course, like before he even walks out, you're looking over a sea of these stormtroopers that are a mixture of, we've been living in a swamp and we've been using gold to put our things back together, like Asian China. And it was weird.
It was weird. What do you, I mean, what did you think of the stormtrooper thing? We'll wait on Thrawn. What did you like?
Why are they so dirty? I could get it. They've been like, you know, catapulted out there, what, 10, 12, 16, 30, 50 years? I don't even know. Bobby knows, I'm sure.
10 to 15 years.
Okay. 10 to 15 years. Are they wearing their damn uniforms every single solitary day? And don't they just wipe it down? Can't they? I mean, they're on this planet. They've obviously figured out how to, like, breed and, like, break animals so that they can do things with them and make them into horses. Like, I'm sure they figured out where water sources are. Like, are you telling me?
I mean, they still have a working Star Destroyer, which obviously they've done, like, repairs to. Correct. Like, they've worked on. I mean, I thought about this, too. I'm like, it looks cool that they look, like, so different, and they've been marooned basically in this other galaxy, mm-hmm. on this other planet.
And I get, but like melding,
obviously things work. They still have technology at their disposal. They still have a Star Destroyer, and it's like, it's one thing, it's like this is representing that they've been marooned and everything, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it's like, in reality, I know we're not talking about reality, but in reality, would they really look so like
disheveled?
Like, it's like when they arrived, were all the stormtroopers like thrown across the planet, and they were all like wrecked and like crashed, and they had to like put their armor back together. I don't know, like
it was a weird touch.
But then on the flip side, like, what if they had all looked just shiny and clean, and if would we have been like but at the same time, I think Star Wars has always done a very good weathered kind of stormtrooper look. Like, maybe this was a little too much, Bobby. I mean, have you thought about this at all, or what did you think of it?
Not until this moment. Honestly, it never even crossed my mind. Really? Not at all.
I was watching
going. I just thought, oh, he still has a force. And that was like the extent of my thought, is like, he still has a squad with him, you know, that's going to be
dwindled,
doing some damage, I imagine.
Dwindled over,
but I never thought about the actual look of them, how whether they should look, or whether I think I definitely would have noticed it more had they looked so pristine and clean. And I figure if they would have, like you said, David, they usually do a pretty good job of weathered look for a stormtrooper, but I also imagine that a weathered look for a stormtrooper means that they haven't gotten their armor replaced or cleaned up within a week or two, but not like 10, 15 years. So I imagine that some of that weatheredness is probably just because of the armor's age and whatnot, and who knows how long stormtrooper armor lasts for, being considering how cheap the Emperor was. But I don't know, in terms of that thought, in terms of like, I just didn't bump up against it, honestly. I mean, because my focus was way more on Thrawn coming out the walkway, sure. More so than the stormtroopers. The only one I think that obviously stood out to me the most was Enoch, who he had the gold faceplate. Which I thought, all I really thought when I saw him was like, huh, that's interesting. That looks different. But I didn't go beyond that with his thought, other than, you know, he's different looking.
Well, I guess, like, not to beat this with the dead horse, but like, to me, it'd be one thing if the stormtroopers didn't, you know, they were all like, but if all of them were all just like living on the planet, like, and it created huts, and you know,
living off
but
the land,
not living basically on a Star Destroyer, like, then even the time, I still go, I think it maybe the overall look of these stormtroopers has gone a little far. Like, I don't have a problem with it in one sense. In one sense, it's like, okay, this is different. I'm all for different, but it also felt a little like, this is a little too much. I don't buy that this would look like this.
Yeah. Well, you know, Thrawn,
given the situation I've been presented.
Yeah. You know, Thrawn's eating pretty okay. He's got a little paunch going on there.
Paunch, but he's got a super clean uniform. His
uniform is spotless.
Yeah. And I would expect no less from him. And of course, it has been years. So it's to be expected he probably eats well compared to everyone else. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I guess once now that you're sort of making me think about it a little bit more, I'd have to imagine that they probably, unless he was being a real stickler, they probably haven't even put on that armor in years.
This is what I'm saying.
When now knowing with the witches communicating with Thrawn and saying they're actually on the way, that they're probably like, let's get these out of storage and put these things on again.
Everyone, make
we're
your,
going home,
make
baby.
Armor your own.
Yeah, like, we're about to go home.
I'm sure that it's like the military, you know, once a week you got to get dressed up and you got to get in full uniform and line up for what is it, rotation or whatever, I don't remember what they're called anymore. You gotta line up for duty, and everybody does a roll call, and they make sure everything's lined up. But then, the other 6 days of the week, you're just in your fatigues.
So, Thrawn.
This episode's so long. We're already going so long into this.
Oh, no, we'll start fast-forwarding here pretty soon, I think.
We need to start moving.
But Thrawn, so before I say what I'm going to say, I'm gonna repeat some stuff about like where I'm coming from when it comes to this character. I've read one book. That's really it. I've seen images of what Thrawn looks like. What are you're saying, Bobby? I know, like, if you think about what from the Battle of Yavin to the end of Return of the Jedi is like 4 years, and then how long after Return of the Jedi are we at here? Where it.
They say about 5 years after.
Five years.
But no one's actually pinned it
really
down.
Really pinned it down. So we'll say about 10 after, like, after Battle of Yavin. And then, like, I don't know when they disappeared before BBY anyway. So
it was, at least 5 years, I think, before
that. Right. So we're, 15 years, it's been since they disappeared. I guess I'm just trying to say, I have no problems with the casting of Thrawn, but at the same time, I guess I expected a more like imposing kind of look to him.
There's a softness about him.
I know that he's not, from what I know of Thrawn, and there's a lot more to learn for sure, but I know he's not some combat, crazy fighter or anything. He's an intellectual kind of guy. I know he's good. No, but
he's a good hand-to-hand fighter.
But at the same time, I think when he arrives, I was just kind of I don't know. He just seems not as imposing as I expected. I mean, nothing against this actor whatsoever. But there's a part of me that's
No, I agree. The dude that showed up was 6'2", 6'3".
He looks a lot older than I would have expected.
Well, the age actually I think is pretty spot on. Mm. I think for me it's a height and a build situation. I guess I was expecting somebody to be much closer to say 6'6" or 6'7". He looking at the animated series, he's always extremely tall and not lanky, but he's a very fit figure.
Again, I'm not saying he should be ripped, but
because he's so tall, he's kind of domineering in that sense. He's very, and that was what I in my head. And so I'm 6'2", 6'3". Average shoulder broadness, maybe a little bit, a little paunchy going, was I guess.
Sure. Bobby, what are your thoughts on
these are,
or on what we're saying, I guess I should say.
I mean, I have no issue with what you're saying because you guys have said, you don't have as much experience with the character. So I don't have any, issue with it. I think for me, the only thing that I feel like is that obviously he is more rounded than he was in anything that was in Rebels. And again, I attribute that to the amount of time that's gone past, because it's been like 10 to 15 years. And
he's not doing his calisthenics every day.
I would say that even in Rebels, he probably could have been 35, 40, maybe. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's about 60-ish, I guess, at this point. So
in the mid-50s.
Yeah, well, and yeah, so... And that's just a rounded guess. It could be slightly older than that. I have no idea. So for me, and I think for most fans who do have a familiarity with Thrawn, I think that they probably are okay with the trade-off of him not quite looking the way they want, so much as the fact that it's the actor that portrays him in Rebels, and they still get to hear that voice, because that is the thing, and that he embodies that character still, because his voice is obviously the same because he did the voice in Rebels, and he has always been within, whether it's the old Timothy Zahn novels or the new ones, or even in Rebels, very calm, you very rarely ever hear him raise his voice, but he's two steps ahead, if not more, than most people. And you get that in this episode. You see that he's already thinking about stuff. He even says, we have to assume Ahsoka's still alive. You didn't see. So he's a Jedi, so he's flawed. So prepare for her to be alive until proven otherwise. I mean, he's just always a step ahead, just constantly thinking. And for me, that has what been the part that I think I love the most, is that they carry that through and they show that he's still very much Thrawn as a threat, because he's smart, and more than likely smarter than everyone that's in the room. In the sense of when it comes to military strategy, he's very smart. Other aspects, he is more aloof in certain ways within social etiquettes and stuff. And politics, but military, it's like, you know, forget about it. So to me, that's like, yeah, seeing him there and being that, I'm like, okay, while he may not be in the same shape or form in terms of how he was in Rebels, I'm okay with that, and ultimately still having this actor portray that character rather than having someone else, and having to yet again sort of adjust to someone else playing a character I'm familiar with their voice being different in this live action form.
Yeah, I think he definitely conveys an intelligence level and a calmness throughout the entire episode. I would agree with that. Like, that was definitely what was coming off from him.
Yeah, I guess I'll just, I don't know, like, you know, I'm obviously, again, coming at this as someone who has not experienced him in Rebels, but it's easy for me to say this as someone in that position, but I guess I find it unfortunate that they felt the need to cast the same actor who voiced a character in an animated show to be Thrawn still in live action, when, to me, I don't know that he fits a look for a character that I've heard so much about. I've seen enough imagery of that. When I saw him appear in live action, my reaction was honestly like, oh, so this is the guy. Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, I know it's more than just body, but part of me was like, I don't know.
It was rolling off intimidation when he was walking up to them. Like, I mean,
felt like a scene where this should have been like, wow, this dude is intimidating. Just being in his presence is intimidating, and I was not getting that impression from what I saw on screen
now, his intelligence level, and when he's talking, that is fairly intimidating, because the calmness he has, and so I'll give that from. But as far as physical intimidation, there was no, like, you know, there was no, like, Vader at the end of a long, dark hallway moment happening. Like, I definitely wasn't like, holy crap. crikey's goosebumps, you know? Like, there just wasn't that hair-raising moment visually.
But again, I'm acknowledging, like, I'm saying this as someone who hasn't experienced the animated version, and maybe after I do, I will feel differently, but I think, even so, I would go just as I would like to say certain characters should be recast, you know, instead of using them in some different form in Star Wars. I would feel like, yep, he made a great voice actor for this part, but I don't know that he makes a great live action version of it, at least from what I've seen so far. So that was my reaction to it.
Yeah.
I know I'm probably in the extreme minority on this, but it was just something I was just like, oh, really? Like, this is the dude? Like,
This guy?
All right.
So, Sabine goes out.
I know we're running out of time, but we're going to kind of start jumping through some stuff. She encounters some bandits, which, by the way, I don't know why, and I couldn't even, like, remember exactly what character it was. Like, the way some of their helmets looked and the way they were moving around reminded me of one of these characters from Labyrinth.
Yes! Yes, it's the guards. Like, the guards, little, like, guards, like, have, like, the those
things on their,
yes,
head.
And I was, like, I thought the same, dude, it thing.
Looks just like these dudes from Labyrinth.
It was the Labyrinth guards. Oh, dude, I had the same thoughts, man. Oh, dude, yes.
So, yeah, she fights them. I was going to fast forward to she encounters, you know, well, I was going to say too, like, I kind of liked the whole, like, dynamic of her with that thing she was writing.
The Irish wolfhound, yeah, slash,
like, the creature. Whole scene of her, like, trying to get it to go away, but it won't stop following her. Yeah. And then she finally is like, okay, fine. Like, warming back up to you. I was like, this is nice. Like,
no, it was kind of cute. Reminds me of dealing with our dog.
Yeah, kind of a little bit. But then, like, the like, what were they, like, these hermit crab looking, like,
they're kind of like turtle rock
lobster guys,
right?
They're cool,
but they were cool. Like, they were cool. Same thing. Like, there was a part of me at first was like, oh, what am I gonna make of this? But I'm like, overall, I was like, I like this.
And,
like,
you know what I liked is it was definitely, I mean, I think there were some scenes that were CGI, but there was definitely like a, yeah, you go, Jim Henson Creature Shop. I like this. Like, there were some that were not just computers. It was nice. I was like, oh, there's like a little depth here. It's kind of cool. Right. Actually, I have, like, real creatures doing their things in the little village.
Bobby, you were gonna say something?
I will say about the turtle rock creatures is that for me, that was the single most favorite thing of the episode for me. More than Thrawn, more than Ezra. It was seeing those creatures, and it's because it goes back to something I said during our Ant-Man review, Quantumania, and that when we go into the quantum realm and they go into that bar and there's all these different creatures, and I remember so many people saying, oh, it's kind of like a Star Wars thing. They're going in the cantina and it's like all these different weird aliens. I like that so much because in that time frame, with Star Wars, for the different TV series that we've gotten and even some of the movies, it seems like we've gone to a point where they rely heavily on just humanoid looking people and making it, I guess, cost less for them to be able to just have people that are either pink or green or whatever, but they're still humanoid. And so in Ant-Man, having creatures that look visually different than something that I've ever seen before or would ever dream of was great to me. And it reminded me of a time when you did see in Star Wars, there's all these different creatures and people at work. And like you mentioned, Michelle, the Jim Henson factory, it was like, that was the first thing I thought when I saw that creature. I smiled so big. And I was just like, this is Star Wars to me because they were seeing different creatures. And then that was always one of the biggest appeals to me when I was a kid, seeing Star Wars, seeing all these different worlds with all these different creatures on them that were sentient and could, you know, obviously had their own language and their own way of life and everything. And didn't just look like humans painted up as something else. And so for me, seeing that made my whole day and the whole episode is just because it was creative and they weren't speaking basic. They had their own language and it was just like, this is good. I want more of this. And so when we go through that, and then having them go to their town and their little nomad area and seeing how they live, this was like, oh, this is great. Like, I really appreciate that. And just the interaction. It mm-hmm. was Star Wars, old school comedy, not comedy per se, but just making light of the moment without it being too heavy or over the top, childish and kiddish, and it fit in a realm of what I felt like this was like something that harkened back to old Star Wars to me.
Yeah, it's they're making the connection without a common language, and it's grounding in the Star Wars universe to have that those characters build that world. It was I will agree, like, it was definitely one of the highlights for sure. Like, it was a great moment. I liked them a lot. I think
they're super cute. I was curious to know what you thought of them, but yeah, no, it's good.
No,
I'm glad
to
hear you liked them too. Like, no, I liked it. And then, of course, as you already kind of talked about at the beginning of the episode, Michelle, like, we get the Ezra reveal, right?
The Ezra reveal.
And I don't disagree with you, to jump back to what you were saying. Like, in one sense, I don't think every big reunion like this needs to be like some big tear fest of like, oh my God, I miss you so much.
Right.
But there was something about it that felt a little like, I haven't even experienced that part of Rebels yet, of him disappearing mm-hmm. and that being such a big emotional thing. Like, but I understand what happened. So at least I was expecting, I guess, a little more like emotion mm-hmm. about it. And yeah, there wasn't much like,
Holy and of crap, course, I've only been out for a few hours and I found you. This right. is amazing. Well,
here I am. Like,
yeah.
And there is a part of me that you can see a little bit that Sabine is, I think, already starting to kind of have to mentally deal with, like, the choice she made.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think enough. Like, I think I wish there was a little more there, like, digging into, like, at least more looks of her, like, having to realize, like, wow, what have I done? Like, this is great. I'm seeing Ezra, but, like... Yeah.
This
wasn't smart.
This was like the most Anakin thing I think I've seen a person in Star Wars do ever. It's the most selfish thing any other character I think has ever done, in my opinion. Right. It's her whole decision to just do this. And I'm watching it just going, I don't think you feel any remorse yet.
I don't say any, but...
I don't know. Like, I think maybe she's just now starting to edge on the grappling of, holy crap, I think I just screwed. I think I just screwed our universe. because I was just trying to get to this one human being, but yeah, screw all those thousands of planets and billions of creatures and people and beings.
Right.
And, I think she's just starting to edge into that realization of, wow, I just effed over every other thing, basically, for this one human being.
Right.
Which is probably why she didn't, you know, I'm going to use the word man up and just say, hey, BT Dubs, I got here because I made a deal with the devil, basically, and I've, you know, let him out of Pandora's box, and he's going to head back to the real world and screw absolutely everything up for everyone else.
Right.
Yeah. It was weird. I was not a fan of this whole thing.
Bobby, what did you think of the whole Ezra reveal and reunion? And
well,
for he's me... He's like, it was the feels.
No, for me, seeing Ezra was just fantastic. It was great just because... When they show him in the hologram, I still wasn't for sure how on board I was with the actor that was going to be portraying him.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a hologram, and so it was so short, so you don't really know. But it didn't convince me. But seeing him pop up here, it convinced me. I was like, all right, yeah, I got it. And so it made me happy to see that they look like they got that right with the casting. And so I obviously want to see more of him. As far as the Sabine of it all, that one's harder just because I've consistently said so far throughout this times that we've reviewed it that she is one of the other characters that has felt the most off to me in terms of seeing her from how she was in Rebels to how she is in this show. She is very much a capable Mandalorian within the context of the Rebels show. And even in what we've gotten of Ahsoka, she's very capable as a fighter, as a Mandalorian fighter, and doing what she does. It's the characterization of her that still feels sometimes like a disconnect, because while in the series she was could be impetuous, I never felt like she made bad decisions per se,
or put herself ahead of other people.
Not so much on such a huge scale. So that one's still been hard for me to reconcile. But there's a difference to me between her making bad decisions for story point sake. Like, I obviously imagine that her making this decision to save Ezra at the cost of the galaxy is a story point, and we will develop that out, and we will get to see the ramifications of that. So while it's like you're frustrated with the character, you understand that that's part of what the story is supposed to be, right, and where it's going to take us because of her decisions. The things that I bump up against the most are things that don't have anything to do with story, and it's more the way it's just sort of written as the character or directed. And the single most disappointing thing that I felt from this episode was that when Ezra talks to her, she just looks over her shoulder and is like, "What's up?" kind of thing. And it's like, nah, you just essentially traded war for this one person. As soon as he talks, he should barely be able to finish his sentence before you're rushing over there on him and jumping on him and hugging him and everything else. The lack of impact of the emotional reunion of those two was so disappointing. It was slightly there, but it wasn't there to the point that I feel like it should have been there for all the decisions she just basically made, for her to be that chill about actually seeing him there at that moment. I just don't feel like that would have been a character decision based on everything I've seen her go through in Rebels and everything that she's so far gone through in the Ahsoka series. And so that to me was just felt a little hollow and missing the point of that whole thing. So outside of that, I am curious to see how things shake out once he does figure this out, because she had a chance to tell him, like, well, I got here because of this. And for her to put that off, maybe, again, it's because she feels like they're leaving. She's stuck there. So she's got time to tell him everything. She doesn't know that Baylan and Shin Hati, are after her. So she probably feels like there's no rush. But again, it is something that I'm sure, once again, it's just sort of in a line of bad decisions from this character so far since the first episode. Taking the little ball thing back to her home, even when Ahsoka told her to stay on the ship with it. It's like there's so many bad decisions that that's why I feel disconnected to the way she was in Rebels compared to how she is now. But yeah, obviously a lot of that plays into how much and how far she's willing to go to get Ezra back. And so that will have to be come to a head at some point with her and Ahsoka, and probably even Ezra, because he did a thing knowing that he may not come back. And for you to then sort of undo what he did, I don't know that it will sit well with him. Or maybe he's zen now and can forgive her decisions, but we'll see.
Yeah, he's zen about her, you know, exploding the entire universe, but it's cool. It's cool. It's all good. The whole thing was just,
I say
was,
zen, sorry.
No, I'm just making.
And I mean sort of like in the way that Yoda would not blow up and be like, "What the hell did you just?" No, Zen Yoda would probably say, "Learn from our decisions, we must," and, you know, do something back. That's what I mean by zen. He would probably get so mad.
The scene didn't play well on many levels for me. And yeah, like, neither of them seemed actually excited to really see each other. There was a happiness, but I wouldn't say there was any level of excitement considering it's been 15 years, give or take.
Right.
I don't know. It was not, I wasn't hot on it. And I'm a bum because I really wanted to talk about Balin and his storyline, like you'd mentioned at the beginning of the show, Bobby, because yeah, I feel like there's a lot of layers to that onion I wish I could pull back.
I don't disagree. I mean, he's fascinating in that it's not like it's been completely explicitly laid out for us, like what's going on with him and his apprentice.
What's happening to his little brain?
But we get a little more and a little more, and it's like, oh my god, I want to know, like, what is going on with this dude?
We're
like,
just getting pieces here.
And there's constant looks of like, there's complexity, you know, like, you know, they take Sabine, all the witches have her taken to that cell, and you know, you get a quick look of his face, like, which is obviously no accident, like the. Like, if he's conflicted about like what's going on, like. He's fascinating. I agree.
I think he's one of the most fascinating characters of the entire show, actually.
Agreed. Yeah.
Like, you know, we only have two more episodes left, and it kind of bums me out because I know there's not going to be more episodes with his character, and it just.
There's not going to be with that actor. I mean, it was correct. There was a part of me at the beginning of this show or this season thinking, oh, this guy, you know, this character is probably going to die at the end of this season. But now being two episodes away, if I had to bet, I don't think he would. And yeah, like you have to imagine then they would have to recast and. Like that's totally doable, but then it's also, you know, it's unfortunate.
The whole thing is unfortunate.
Yeah, it's tough. It's not obviously just the three of us. Everyone loves his character and his portrayal of the character, and to imagine that they would have this character return, say for a season two or in the movie or both or whatever, and have him be recast, that's going to be a lot for people to swallow, I think. It's like, new actor in this position.
Those are some big boots to fill based on what Ray has laid down for this character. He has done a spectacular job, and it's gut-wrenching, on many levels. And it stinks. But yeah,
I
can't wait to find out more information about this character and what his end game is in his head.
Right. Yeah. But to finish this up, I mean, soon after that, we get the scene of Thrawn talking to the witches, and basically they know that Ahsoka's on her way. And I mean, there's really not much to say there unless you guys have anything to kind of add. I think that's basically where the episode ended.
Ahsoka is a-coming.
Ahsoka's on her way. And we have two episodes to go.
Yeah, I don't have much to say other than the fact that it's just that, again, mentioning back to Thrawn, and that he's not leaving anything to chance, because he even was like, if Pergil comes towards the planet, shoot it down with prejudice. And it's like, he's already in his mindset that don't let any of these space whales near us right now, because more than likely Ahsoka's hitching a ride. So I am very curious to see how she can get to the planet without being shot down or a whale dying. So,
like a whale or mini whales are going to die.
Yeah, which will be sad.
It will be sad. I'm laughing about it, but that'll be sad.
Yeah.
At least they ended their lives in their end life world like they planned to do anyway. It's just going to be probably many millennia before they wanted to.
Right. All right. Well, with that, we are going to wrap things up. We would love to know what all of you thought of Ahsoka Episode 6 and our thoughts. You can leave any questions or comments on YouTube if you're watching us on YouTube. Leave those questions and comments down below. Make sure to hit that bell icon, of course, to be notified whenever we post any videos or go live in the future. You can also listen to this as an audio podcast if you are not right now. We are available basically anywhere you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, all those good places. With that, I'm David Lott.
I'm Bobby Jackson.
And I'm Michelle Hillard.
Thanks for listening and watching, everybody. Bye-bye.